Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, April 7th, the year of our Lord, 2024. This is the second Sunday of Easter. And as always, it's a joy to welcome you here to the podcast. I pray you are well. And we will begin as we begin here by celebrating what is good, celebrating the gift of life by taking in the breath of life. So just pause and breathe for a minute with me. Savor every breath. Thank God for every breath. It is life itself. In this spirit of gratitude, call to mind those things for which you are most grateful. Friends and family and opportunities. The best of life. Give thanks to God for it all. Perhaps turn your face toward the sky. Maybe even let a smile come to your face. And in this posture, and in this mindset, let's begin together in worship. Please join with me in the opening prayer as printed in your digital bulletin. You can find that bulletin to the left of where you found today's podcast. Just there, it's a tab, I believe. It still says Sermon Notes. Just right there, click on that icon, and the bulletin will come up for you. Let's begin. Mighty God, in whom we know the power of redemption, you stand among us in the shadows of our time. As we move through every sorrow and trial of this life, uphold us with knowledge of the final morning, when in the glorious presence of your risen Son, we will share in his resurrection, redeemed and restored to the fullness of life, and forever freed to be your people. Amen. Friends, our gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of John in the 20th chapter, verses 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Let's join together in prayer. Gracious and merciful God, we give you thanks for the gift of your word alive and among us. We call out to you and we pray. We pray you join us here in this time of reflection, that what we would come to hear and to understand is the truth that you have for us as a church, that you have for each and every one of us as members of this body of Christ. And so we pray, save us from distraction, save us from misinterpretation, so that we could hear your voice and come to know you as Lord. We pray this in your holy name and say, Amen. Friends, on this, the second Sunday of Easter, we always have this reading from John. The story we very commonly call the story of Doubting Thomas. But there is a whole lot going on in this story. It begins, this verse begins, in the evening of the first day of the week. It's dark again. You recall, last Sunday, Easter Sunday, that story begins early in the morning on the first day of the week while it was still dark. And all the associated emotions that we might have with darkness, unknowing, fear, uncertainty. Then there's the daylight. Mary sees Jesus as the sun comes up. She runs home to join the others. We don't really know much about what happens in these intervening hours during the day on the first day of the week while the sun was shining. But we do have a very wonderful story of what happens that evening. The sun has set and the fear has set back in, if it had left at all. Perhaps the resurrection appearance of Jesus that morning only added some confusion and chaos to their thinking. But now the sun has gone down, and they are behind a locked door in that room, and they're afraid for fear of the Jews, for fear of the authorities who might want to just finish off the job. How many of them believe that Jesus is raised from the dead or has someone run off with him? There's controversy and chaos. So it's not irrational for them to think there is probably a plot to just find out where any remnants of this movement are hiding and to be rid of it. So there they are, praying, having conversations, reviewing every word that they remember Jesus saying. And in the midst of this fear, in the midst of this chaos, enters Jesus. And what are the first words out of his mouth? Peace be with you. He comes And he brings the shalom of God, the peace of his presence. Peace be with you. And then, having bid them his peace, after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. He enters, he bids peace, he reveals his broken body to them, and they, for a moment, they breathe a sigh of relief. They are overwhelmed with the sense of his presence. And then he says again to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." This is John's Pentecost story. This is the birth of the church. In the midst of fear, behind locked doors, with this heartfelt understanding that all of this 3 years of public ministry with Jesus, it couldn't be ending, not this way. And he comes, and in his resurrected form, locked doors are nothing to him. He enters in, he bids them peace, shows them full physical evidence that it is indeed himself. It is Jesus, the one who was crucified. They come to their right minds. The fear dissipates in the midst of the peace, which he blesses them with again. And then he commissions them. After breathing out this Holy Spirit, after his very life's breath, the breath of God fills the room, they take it in, and they are then commissioned. If you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. If you retain them, they're retained. So much there. But there is one who was not there. Famously, infamously, Thomas is not present. We don't know exactly what he was off doing. Was he out checking on family? Was he out buying food? We don't know. But he wasn't there. But he arrives only to hear this incredible story. Thomas, this is going to sound crazy, but given the events of the day, right? And they tell him the story about he appeared. The door was locked, and he came in, and he said, "Peace be with you," and then he breathed on us, and then he commissioned us to be able to forgive sins. Remember when he would talk to us about those things? And Thomas is maybe half excited and half heartbroken. I mean, I can hear his heart saying, "This is incredible. I can tell by the look on your face and how excited you are. I know you're not lying, but I want that too. I can never believe like you believe because I haven't seen him. How can I? I won't believe like that unless I were to have an experience like you've had." To oversimplify an illustration, it might be like reading a review of a play, of a movie, or a restaurant. Maybe one of your favorite reviewers, just a trustworthy friend or some professional critic, goes out for a wonderful meal, sees a wonderful show, and they write it up, or they send you a note or call you and say, "You have to see this." At some level, you can't share their experience. You can trust them. You can have a certain level of confidence in belief in what they're saying. But unless you've experienced it for yourself, you feel like you don't really know. At a very simple level, I think this is somewhat of what Thomas is going through. I know Jesus. I've been traveling with Jesus. I know you guys. And I know you're not lying. But what you're saying is so wonderful that I feel like I've missed out if I don't have that experience for myself. And Jesus, a week later, gives Thomas that gift. He gives him the gift. We'll just read that in we'll start at verse 24. Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." And he goes on to explain that he can't believe like they believe. But a week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. And again, the door was shut. And we can assume that door is locked. Jesus came and stood among them, and he blesses them the same way. Peace be with you. But it's very clear this time he is there to see Thomas. And he says to Thomas, I hear this in a very loving way, "Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Don't doubt, but believe." And that's all Thomas needed. He received the same gift that the others had. And he says these words, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." And this is where John gets to the whole point of why he's telling this story to begin with. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. How can we all not be a bit like Thomas? That we believe, we've read the scriptures, we've offered the prayers, but it takes a moment in our lives, some kind of experiential moment for us to feel like this sense of believing and knowing becomes our life's breath, gets into our bones. And as I've been reading and rereading this text, I think it has something to do with wounded hands and wounded sides. That for an unbelieving world, a doubting world, to believe our testimony that we ourselves have experienced the presence of the risen Christ, it's when we confess our wounds, when we can show our wounds, the physical wounds that we've endured in the name of faith, the physical wounds that maybe some of them are self-inflicted, and then we can give testimony to the healing and forgiveness that we have received at the hands of Christ, that the new life we experience when the breath of the Holy Spirit fills our lungs and enlightens us and enlivens us. And so often it begins for each and every one of us, or in collections of us, that we're behind locked doors of some sort. We're afraid. And maybe we have just enough of a story of wisdom and forgiveness that keeps us together and going, but we haven't been fully convinced or convicted. And in one way or another, someone, some testimony, some story walks into the midst of that fear, comes in behind the locked door and says, "You know, I've been in a similar place to where you are right now. look at my hands and look at my side. Do you see my wounds? I've been impoverished before. I have done things that I'm ashamed of. And let me tell you what happened when I confessed these things, when I sought help for these things. I found there were other people just like me, and they told me the story of an encounter that they couldn't quite explain, but they'd met Jesus. And there was a power that came from his woundedness and his forgiveness. And that he's given us the ability to forgive as he has forgiven us. And it's life-changing. And it might just lead us to the same confession that we get from Thomas. My Lord and my God. And when we do, the Gospel of John has done its work in us. That not seeing heaven by the distance of history and time and space, not been present in the room when Jesus speaks his shalom, but being invited into that moment through the mystery of faith. In the authenticity of this gospel, we, like Thomas, see his wounds, we confess our wounds, and we are healed. And we confess him as Lord, and we become citizens of the kingdom of heaven. It is good, good news, to which I say, Amen. Gracious and merciful God, we give you thanks for the gift of Easter, for the gift of resurrection, for the wounds of Jesus, and for the peace that he breathes on us. And so we pray in this moment, come Holy Spirit, come. Bring us your shalom. Bring us your forgiveness, your grace, and your peace. Make us people of great faith, so that every knee would bow, every tongue would confess that you are Lord. God, we look at the world around us, and we wonder, where is this peace on earth? Why isn't it more pervasive? Why is it that it seems that the people in positions of power reject peace at every opportunity? That they would rather profit from violence, that they would profit from scarcity rather than promote peace. You, O God, are the Prince of Peace. Through Christ you come. I pray, speak to the hearts and the minds of the ministers and the magistrates, the presidents and the prime ministers, the heads of councils and corporations. Peace be with you. And that they would choose to be forgiven and live lives in the manner of forgiven people. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come into our lives. You know us. You know our hearts and our minds and our prayer lists and our anxieties. You know the ways in which we keep the door locked and we hide in fear. Please come through that door. And in this moment, give us the faith to share with you everything on our list, our joys and our concerns. And we pray, meet us in this moment of silence Speak to us, heal us, breathe your peace upon us. And we break our silence. We thank you, God, for the gifts of peace and quiet. And we thank you for a prayer that you taught your first disciples. We inherit it as a great gift. Hear us, O God, as we celebrate this prayer together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, I pray that you will do so, that we will all do so inspired. That even if in this moment it feels like our scars and wounds are too much to bear, even in moments when doubt seems much easier than faith, trust that Jesus will enter into that space. That Jesus will bid you peace, breathe the Holy Spirit into you, and that faith and life eternal is yours in the presence of our God. God that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who calls to you, breathes into this moment and says, Peace be with you. Go in peace. Amen.